Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Meth Lunches, Food and Longing in an American City by Kim Foster is a nonfiction work that uses meals, cravings, and everyday survival strategies to examine life in a city shaped by addiction, poverty, and desire. The title signals the book's central tension: food as comfort and community, and meth as a force that distorts appetite, time, relationships, and self-care. Foster situates readers close to people who are often reduced to statistics, focusing instead on the ordinary routines where dignity and harm coexist. In this framework, a lunch is never just lunch. It can be a bargain, a ritual, a performance of normalcy, or a fragile bridge between strangers. The book blends cultural observation with human stories to show how longing moves through neighborhoods, kitchens, storefronts, and public spaces. By tracing the intersection of food and substance use, Foster offers an accessible lens on complex social realities while keeping attention on individual lives and the systems that shape them. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, food as a map of need, identity, and belonging. A central idea of the book is that food functions like a social map, revealing who has access, who is excluded, and how people try to claim belonging. In neighborhoods marked by instability, meals are both material and symbolic. They answer immediate hunger, but they also help people hold on to identity through familiar tastes, routines, and small choices. Foster uses food settings to show how community forms in practical ways, sharing a plate, trading information, lingering in a public place that feels safer than home, or using a cheap meal as a daily anchor. These patterns illuminate how longing operates as a constant background force. People may long for stability, for family, for a version of themselves that feels intact, or simply for a moment that is not dominated by crisis. The book encourages readers to notice the subtle negotiations that happen around food, including pride and shame, generosity and suspicion, and the desire to be seen as more than a problem to manage. Food becomes an entry point to understand social life without reducing it to abstract policy language. Secondly, addiction and the body: appetite, time, and self-care. The book explores addiction not only as a behavioral pattern, but as an experience that reshapes the body's basic rhythms. Meth use is often associated with appetite suppression and disrupted sleep, and Foster uses this reality to connect substance use to everyday life choices that outsiders may misread as indifference or moral failure. When appetite and time are altered, so are routines that normally support health: grocery shopping, cooking, eating with others, and planning ahead. The concept of a lunch tied to meth highlights how nourishment and neglect can coexist in the same day. Foster emphasizes the practical consequences, such as missed meals, erratic energy, and the way a person's attention narrows to immediate needs. At the same time, the book suggests that people still attempt forms of self-care inside constrained circumstances, even if those efforts look unconventional. A purchased snack, a shared meal, or a brief pause to eat can represent an attempt to re-enter ordinary life. This topic helps readers grasp addiction as embodied and situational, shaped by both chemistry and environment. Thirdly, the city as an ecosystem places. Where longing concentrates, Foster treats the city not as a backdrop but as an active ecosystem that channels longing into certain spaces and habits. Food outlets, convenience stores, fast casual counters, and informal gathering spots become recurring nodes where people cross paths and where money, appetite, and opportunity collide. The book highlights how urban design, transportation, policing, and local economies influence what people can eat, where they can rest, and how visible their struggles become. In many American cities, the geography of resources is uneven. Healthy groceries might be distant, while cheap calories are nearby and open late. Foster uses such contrasts to show that personal decisions are often entangled with structural constraints. The city's services and institutions also play a role, sometimes offering support and sometimes creating barriers that push people into more precarious routines. By focusing on place, the book helps readers see how addiction and hunger are distributed and intensified by policy choices and market forces. The result is a portrait of an American city where longing gathers in predictable corridors and where survival requires constant navigation. Fourthly, stigma, visibility, and the ethics of witnessing. Another major theme is how stigma shapes every interaction around addiction, poverty, and food insecurity. Foster illustrates how people are watched, judged, and categorized in public spaces, and how that surveillance changes behavior. Something as simple as eating in a restaurant or buying food can become a moment of exposure, where a person anticipates rejection or scrutiny. The book also examines the ethics of witnessing, what it means to look closely at lives that are often hidden or ignored, and how to tell stories without turning people into objects of pity or spectacle. Foster's approach invites readers to hold multiple truths at once. Individuals have agency, but their options are constrained. Communities can be compassionate, but they can also be harsh. Institutions can help, but they can also harm. This topic encourages a more humane, less sensational understanding of addiction, emphasizing context and relationship over quick judgment. It also challenges readers to consider their own role as observers, neighbors, and citizens in shaping what is tolerated, funded, and ignored in shared public life. Lastly, small acts of care meals, mutual aid, and fragile hope. Despite the heaviness implied by the title, the book pays close attention to small acts that keep people going. Food often becomes the medium for care because it is immediate, tangible, and shareable. Foster highlights how mutual aid can emerge informally. Someone buys an extra item, offers a seat, shares a tip about a free meal, or checks on a person who has not been seen. These gestures do not erase systemic problems, but they reveal a persistent social fabric that resists total breakdown. The book suggests that hope is often practical rather than inspirational. It lives in routines that create a little stability, in relationships that reduce isolation, and in moments when a person is treated as human rather than as a burden. Food is central because it can restore a sense of normal life, even briefly, and can reopen the possibility of connection. This topic also points toward what solutions might require not only treatment and enforcement debates, but also reliable access to basic needs, dignified spaces, and community-level support that recognizes how hunger, housing, and health intertwine. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in contemporary American life, including those drawn to narrative nonfiction about cities, public health, addiction, and the social meaning of food. It can also speak to students and professionals in social work, journalism, community health, policy, and nonprofit work who want a grounded view of how systems and daily routines interact. The benefit to a reader's life comes from the lens it offers. It trains attention on the overlooked moments where suffering and resilience coexist. By following food as a thread, the book helps readers understand addiction and poverty without simplifying either, and it encourages more realistic empathy, the kind that acknowledges constraints and still recognizes personhood. Compared with similar books that focus primarily on crime, treatment debates, or sensational extremes, this one stands out for its everyday framing. Meals, cravings, and public spaces create an accessible path into complex issues, making the social landscape easier to grasp and harder to dismiss. It is worth buying because it offers a distinctive synthesis of cultural observation and human story, leaving readers with a clearer sense of what longing looks like in real time and what care can mean on the street level. If you would like to support Kim Foster, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.